your hand or throw something or say, Tony, speak up. But this message came to me when me and the wife was on our anniversary trip a couple months back. We normally go on anniversary just to enjoy ourselves, relax, but this time we did something a little different. We decided to go down and do a little Bible study and enjoy life. Well, while we were studying one night, the subject of the Tree of Life came up, and we got to looking, doing a little studying. And, you know, the Tree of Life is mentioned on both ends of the Scripture. So before I get into that, let's go to the Lord in prayer to ask the Lord to be with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, dear Lord, for this day and for all that you've given us in it, Lord, for all these people that came here tonight, Lord, and the traveling grace that you gave them. And Lord, we ask that you be with me as I dispense this message, that it be for the uplifting and glorification of you, dear Lord. And we thank you for that you did on the cross, and especially that you did from before the foundation. For it's in all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
But, I got to looking at it. You know, I've been doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And Ronnie hits the nail on the head when he said, hope you have a good attitude. Because that's what the fruit of the Spirit's all about, is having a good attitude about life in general. And the Tree of Life, the title is the Tree of Life, Past, Present, and Future. And, you know, in our dispensation, you say, well, how are you going to relate the Tree of Life to the mystery? Well, I'm going to attempt to. But the Tree of Life is associated with Christ, and so are we. The two trees are mentioned in Scripture that mark life and death directions. The Tree of Life and the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil. Are these actually wooden trees? Are they symbols of direction for reward? What possible substance could they be if not actual trees? My goal in the study is to associate the fruit of the Spirit to the Tree of Life, because as we know, Paul says nothing about the Tree of Life in his epistle. But there can be an association. We are the members of the Christ body, and with that relation he has to the trees, so do we. The past Tree of Life, Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the Tree of Life also in the midst of the garden, and the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil. Here we already have two different types of trees other than normal trees that are good for fruit, good for pleasant to the sight. In 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to dress and keep it. That's Adam. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Or as Barney has said several times, die to death. This tree is associated with death, because God said, if you eat of it, you will die. Maybe Adam didn't understand what death was because he hadn't seen it yet. It's not the point. God said. In 3:1-5, now the serpent, here comes the serpent, was more subtle and cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. What is that? He cast in doubt right off the bat. Yea, hath God said. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. She added, shall ye touch it. Maybe Adam told her that too, because us guys, we got to be to the point with our women. You touch it, you're going to die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So, another doubt. Satan casts doubt constantly. For God doth know that in the day ye eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Again, doubt. Satan has put doubt into their minds. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired, that is the Hebrew form, chamed, which is to lust, beauty, covet. She wanted that tree. To make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. So Adam was in with the mixed. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Okay, where did that come from? They were open. How did they know they were naked? There was only one thing that they couldn't know, because they had fornication. I'm just saying that. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and I heard a voice in 10 talking, Adam talking to God. I heard your voice because I am naked and hid myself. Now God, I skipped over where God was walking through the garden and asked where Adam was. And God said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, obviously he knew the answer. So all of a sudden God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Okay, here we are with seed, which goes along with procreation. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay, so pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired. And she took and gave to Adam, and he ate, and immediately they saw their nakedness, and comparing enmity between seeds, the seeds already planted. First sin is disobeying God. Second sin is possibly fornication. So in 3:17, and God's dishing out punishment. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and thou hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. So here we are. The ground is now cursed. The curse. Remember that. Because this is going to come up again. The curse. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil, and to know lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat. See, Adam had a choice. God did not say, do not eat of the tree of life, did he? That's not in there. You're not going to find it. Adam could have went to the tree of life and partook. What was there? I can't help but think maybe a lamb or something. So here, the tree of life is associated with life everlasting. Because God said, we need to get him out of here, or he'll live forever, or life everlasting. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove him out, and he placed in the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep them away from the tree of life. Satan has tempted mankind from the beginning, and you can look in every book in Scripture and you'll see the temptation from the beginning all the way to the end. Satan still to this day tempts man. And my state is representing the two choices man has in everyday life can be associated with the two trees, one or the other. The two trees of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, doubting God. And the death and the first account of freedom of choice. Adam had a choice. Eve had a choice. And Satan was there to cast doubt again on God's word. Now, we'll read Psalms 1 to 6. No, read Psalms 1. Okay? 1 to 6. So the notes in the CV says, as Genesis begins with the divine blessings on man, so Psalm 1 opens with, blessed is the man. All blessedness for man is shown and consists in subjection to and occupation with God's law. It is the tree of life to him and mediation on this, mediating on this, he becomes like a well-watered tree in the paradise of God. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. God's law. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his good fruit in season. Now this is the man that lives according to the law. His leaf shall also not wither. This is something I want you to remember also when I get toward the end of my study. This is a leaf that does not wither, okay? And whithersoever he doth, he shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Die to death. Just remember this. The two trees are comparable with two choices mankind have today and throughout scriptural history. Scripture proves that through God and Christ Jesus, there is hope of life. And by following the simplest virtues of the fruits of the Spirit is the way of eternal life. According to Paul in Teaching Righteousness, our daily right walk, for the body of believing Christians, within mankind there are two forces at work. The old man, as we understand in Paul's latter books, which has sin and death associated with it. But the new man has more than life. Resurrection attached. The mysterium message gives us the new man, which is created in righteousness, being continually fed with the fruit of the Spirit. And we can mark through that and put light. The light of Christ himself within us for the edification of the body. That light is for the edification of the body. Whether it's a Christian that needs repentance to the truth rightly divided, or the unsaved person, or the member of the body of Christ, it's all for the glory of God. The body member will be manifest with Christ at his appearing. That's the utmost blessing that any man could ever ask. And it's our charge to be an example. In Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers of, together with me, of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Yeah. The Apostle Paul gave this message, and we can use this as the same marching order. So let's look at attitude. This will be the tree of life present. I went over the tree of life past. Now we're going to look at the tree of life present. But I'm going to go into Proverbs. Because it just so happens, Solomon talks about the tree of life. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life. Not the tree of life now. There's a difference. We have to be careful when we do this. Because the tree of life is associated directly with God, with Him being present and giving the blessings that go with it. Being a tree of life is being a testimony. And the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Now, this is the wisdom of Solomon personified. A humble attitude. A Christ-like attitude. An honest attitude. A patient attitude. Loving attitude. An attitude of praise. Praising God and praising each other. You see something good in somebody, praise them.
Amen.
Looking at Daniel 12:3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. This is associated with the light. The light of Christ. This brightness is Christ shining within those that seek and search God's word and disperse it. In Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. This is Solomon with the personal relations in righteous fear. A humble attitude. Respectful attitude. Sincere attitude. A long-suffering attitude. A forgiving attitude. An edifying attitude. And a courteous attitude. It's all attitude, people. The relationship between the fruit of the Spirit and the tree of life is Christ and the attitude of the saint. That brings a glow to God's heart. The saint that seeks to please Christ is a tree of life. Because in pleasing Christ, the saint must follow all the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, which we see in Paul's books and in Galatians and Ephesians that are said specifically. But the fruit of the Spirit is throughout. You can find the fruit of the Spirit throughout Scripture no matter what book you look in. The attributes of the fruit of the Spirit and that beacon of light that shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Solomon points out the results of a person's attitude. In Proverbs 18:21, death and life are the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruits thereof. This is personal virtues in social life. We as body members have the choice of how we express ourselves. And having Christ as our light, we are to personify that attitude. In Matthew, Christ said to the multitude on the mount, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In our calling, the Apostle Paul uses the light that is within the body member, which is Christ himself. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometime darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, not merely enlightening, but light enlightening. In 5:13 says, in the Lord, in unison with the Lord, who is the light. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. 5:13, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Phanero, to render, to appear, manifestly declare. Notice again, children of light in comparison of children of disobedience in Ephesians 2:2. Wherefore in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Can you still see the two trees? The children of disobedience that have doubt. Do we see doubt today? The fruit of the Spirit, and you can scratch through that in your scripture in Ephesians 5:9. You can scratch through Spirit. It might hurt because I hate to scratch through Spirit, but you can replace it with light. Replace it with light. The fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Amen.
Now let's get to the tree of the future. We as body members are constantly asking, if I am part of Christ's body, what will I be? I mean, it's something we all ask, you know, in the sidebar or whatever, at your home. You ask your wife, or your wife asks you, well, am I going to be a thumbnail? Pinky, whatever, you can't help but think about it. We can look at the book of Revelation and possibly get a glimpse. It might not be an exact answer we're looking for, but it is a glimpse of what God has in store for mankind. In Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Now this is the tree of life that God is offering to those churches in that time, which is the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And I'm not going to go into that because Barney's doing an excellent job on that himself on Sunday. When looking at Revelation, we know that this is after Christ appearing or manifests himself in the heavens. Christ's body is now in place with the head, even Christ is working the will of Christ. Christ is dealing with the churches and overcomers and fulfilling prophecies. It says in Revelation 21:23, the light. And the city hath no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb of God is the light thereof. So God and Christ are the beacons to the world. We've had studies to where we can't really fathom how bright this light is. But it can be seen for probably ever. Scripture proves that God and Christ is the light.
Amen.
The first God is light is in 1 John 1:5. And then this is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The second one is Christ was the light John witnessed about. John 1:4. In him Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. Get back to Revelation 22. The very last chapter in the book of Revelation, or in Scripture as we know it. And he showed me a river, pure river of the water of life. Okay, here's the river with the water of life. clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So from here on, it's going to be talking about the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street, this can get confusing for some people because it's not a road, it's not a highway, it's not a two-lane, four-lane road going down through there. The street here could be banks, the banks of the river. I know we all understand what that is. He showed me a river, pure water, river of water of life, crystal as clear, proceeding out of the throne of God the Lamb, and in the midst of the bank of it, was plat, on either side of the river was there the tree of life. Either side of the river. We don't know how wide this river is, but it's big, okay? But on either side of it, we have the tree of life. The tree of life, okay? Which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. A lot of times you just glaze over that and don't even pay no attention. But it's there for a reason. The leaves of the tree, you remember back in Psalms, the leaves that never wither? Okay, these aren't your regular leaves, are they? They actually are for the healing of the nations. In 22:3, and there shall be no more curse. The curse is gone. What's that, back in 21? The cleansing fire took care of the curse. Don't say nothing here about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, does it? Because the curse is gone. The leaves were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And we have to ask ourselves, why do the nations need healing? And we have to think in today's terms, how many nations do we know that do know Christ? That have been preached God's word. The Gideons have gone through the world preaching God's word to the nations. So the word has been out there. They made it through the cleansing fire. This is after the cleansing fire. So these nations made it through that cleansing fire. Don't ask me how, but God had a way. So there has to be a healing of those nations. They know Christ, but what do they not know that we do? The majority, I'm going to say 99.9% of the people in this room know what right division is. The nations don't have a clue. The churches in our nation, 99.9% of them don't have a clue what right division is. But when God cleanses this earth, nobody is going to be able to step back and not take notice. Say, okay, we know who God is now. You know, you would think with all the other things during Exodus, they would have got the clue. But when they see something this miraculous and know that they went through the fire just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, think about it. People are going to take notice. In Revelation 22:4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. These are the servants, okay, of God. These are the ones that made it through. These are the Israel, the servants of God. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Again, the curse is gone. The nations that made through the judgment now need healing. And I put truth rightly divided question mark because I personally feel like that's what it's going to be. Now let's look back a second to Psalm 1:3. And he shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of water that bringeth forth his good fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. That's the Hebrew form nalbel, a primitive root to wilt, generally to fall away, faint. But it shall not do that. The leaves of the tree shall not do that. The leaves of the tree are for healing of nations. If we throw a bunch of papers out here, they're going to look like leaves, right? Alan has pamphlets that he can throw around that has scripture rightly divided. We could say that that should be the tree, the pamphlets. What if we just go so far as to associate the body of Christ with the trees? I might be stretching it here. Don't throw nothing at me. But it's just a thought. Because Scripture is always associating people and objects with trees, roots, branches. You know, if Christ can be the root, Christ can be the branch, why can't the body of Christ be a leaf? I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. Looking at the tree of life in Revelation, and the reward that God in Christ has for the saints in that dispensation. Because in Revelation, you don't see the two trees but one. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is gone. Burned up. With the grave and death.
Amen.
Then we go to Revelation 22:6, and he said unto me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord thy God, with thy holy prophets, sent his angel to show unto thy servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the prophecies of the things of this book. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Now this Greek form commandments here is stole. And you could say, wash their robes. You can remove commandments and say, blessed are they that wash their robes that they might have to the tree of life. The tree of life. And may enter in through the gates into the city. Now these, from what I understand, only Israel will be going in through the city, through the gates. But they still have to be clean to go into the city. In Colossians 2:6-8, we have two differences. Just one is an example. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted. Let Christ be your foundation. And built up in him. And established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Attitude. We're going back to attitude again. But then again, here comes doubt. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. See, we have doubt even in Colossians. Throughout Scripture, there's always the rebuttal. After the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Alan gave a fantastic study on this in Phoenix. And we see it on a daily basis in churches throughout the country. But in Ephesians 3:17, our charge is that we have Christ in our hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. God gives mankind freedom of choice to follow his direction. Choosing to follow the fruit of the Spirit allows a body member to choose Christ's direction and fulfill His desire and His will that we've been so blessed to have in us. Amen. Satan tricks, fools, persuades, deceives mankind to do his bidding against God. If you walk with the fruit of the Spirit in your heart and your mind, it's so easy to just tell Satan to get behind me. The old man allows Satan to direct his conscience. We all do it. The new man follows Christ's instruction and direction throughout Scripture. Attitude equals direction. Whatever your attitude is, it's the direction you're going. Is it for God or is it against God? Just like when you're having a conversation with somebody, when push comes to shove, don't. Simple as that. That's it for me, you guys. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, all the blessings you give us in it. Again, we just can't thank you enough, Lord, for those blessings that you have set aside for us and those that you gave us that's instilled into us just having you as our pilot, as Cecil says, our GPS. Lord, we thank you so much for that and for these people and the testimony that they bring. For it's in Christ's precious holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Get it out. You good?
Yes, sir.